Okay, so I'm going to close out this session. I'm Sherry Stridhorst, and I work for the provincial government in Alberta. And I've got a really nice data set on looking how we can optimize our management based on cultivar needs. And I'm going to look at two different Canadian Prairie Spring wheat cultivars because they show some great genetic differences. So we've talked a lot about the yield gap that's out there and how we can narrow that yield gap, possibly by optimizing G by E by M interactions. And I've got three references here that show there are significant cultivar by PGR interactions, significant cultivar by foliar fungicide interactions, and how cultivars differ in their response to fungicide and nitrogen fertilizer rates. But we really don't know how we can optimize this management in Canadian wheat cultivars. So what we did was we took a look at 12 different Canadian wheat cultivars that are commonly grown or kind of the up-and-comers and grew them under standard or advanced management. If they got advanced management, that included the use of a plant growth regulator, in-crop nitrogen fertilizer, and dual foliar fungicide. So the experimental design was the main plot are those 12 cultivars. The subplot is standard versus advanced management replicated 4 times. So we did grow this experiment in 15 site years. We have 13 site years of usable data between 2014 and 2016. And kind of I'll just give you a little bit of Alberta geography here. Down to the south here is Montana, and then at Lethbridge we have an irrigated and a dry land site. We have a site in central Alberta referred to as the Killam site, a site just north of Edmonton at Bon Accord, and a site up in the Peace region at Falher. So you can see we're in a number of different soil zones with a number of different environmental and moisture conditions. And what I did was I grouped data based into these three different categories. So we had 7 sites where we had enough precipitation that it did not limit agronomic response. Of course, those are irrigated sites and 4 of the sites where we had very good precipitation. We had 4 sites where the amount of precipitation limited some agronomic response, and 2 sites that were incredibly dry where we actually got some negative or neutral responses to our agronomic treatments. Now, in the G piece of the G by M, I did mention there's 12 cultivars in the trial, but I do want to focus on these two CPS, or Canadian Prairie Spring Wheat cultivars, the first one being AC Foremost. And this has been the 4th most popular variety grown in the province for this class. It's the dominant variety. The first top 3 varieties are HRS or CWRS cultivars. But you'll notice this variety was registered in 1995, so 22-year-old genetics. And we're going to contrast that with AAC Penhold, so same wheat class. You'll notice they have the same height, the same lodging. No acres of this in 2015 because seed was being scaled up for commercial production. So in 2016 and 2017, we had commercial production. And this guy was registered in 2015. So we've got a 20-year span here between when these two cultivars were released. And it's making a huge difference in how they're responding to the agronomic management. So the last piece of our G by E by M is the management piece. If it got standard management, it got soil test or fertility based on soil test recommendations for yield goals in that area. As you can imagine, there's a big difference in the fertility needs between southern Alberta under irrigation to up in the Peace region. So it got that fertility at the time of seeding, but no supplemental nitrogen in crop, no plant growth regulator, and no foliar fungicide. Then with our advanced agronomic treatments, it got that same fertility at the time of seeding. We applied an additional 34 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare at BBCH 29 just prior to stem elongation. We used the plant growth regulator manipulator, which is the active ingredient chlormiclot chloride at BBCH 30 to 31. And then a foliar fungicide application at flag leaf timing, and 2 weeks later at that FHB timing, Procera was applied, so dual fungicide application. So let's dig into the yield and agronomic response of Foremost, our old genetics, versus Penhold, our new genetics. And we'll start with yield because that's probably the most exciting. Here you can see Foremost under standard versus advanced management. With this old cultivar, we got a yield response in 10 of 13 environments. And when we look at what the yield was when we do the multi-year analysis, under standard management, our yield was 5.41 tons per hectare. So the additional management, that PGR, the in-crop nitrogen, and the dual fungicide was giving us about an extra ton per hectare. So we're getting a 17.6% yield increase on this old cultivar. So really responding nicely and consistently to this extra management. We contrast that with the new genetics of Penhold, and we get a yield response 5 of 13 site years, so a lot less frequently, tends to be in those irrigated environments, which isn't overly surprising. But then when we look at our standard management, the yield goal there, or the yield we achieved, was 5.47. So you'll see under standard management fairly similar yields, but with advanced management there, our yields bumped up to 5.85 tons per hectare. So we gained an initial 0.37 tons per hectare, or only a 6.8% yield increase. And you'll notice here under advanced management, the yield potential of the older genetics with the extra management is significantly higher than the new genetics. So I've got producers who are really mad at this new cultivar this year. A lot of non-happy phone calls. We did use plant growth regulators, so I do want to touch on this very briefly. We got a 10% height reduction with the old genetics, 11% with the new ones. These are cultivars that have good standability, so you'll see in the pictures the general trend was no difference between standard or advanced. But what I do want to look at is we did additional studies on Foremost, the old cultivar, where we tried to look at the yield response to the individual pieces, the PGR, the nitrogen, and the fungicide. And the green boxes are those seven environments where we had the high moisture. The blue boxes are where we kind of had that moderate moisture. And the yellow boxes are those very dry environments. So you'll see with the plant growth regulator, really not much of a yield response when it's wet or even kind of moderate. But when it's dry, we had a 4.5% yield reduction with the plant growth regulator. So I think this is a good example of where we look at that environment and we look at the management and we need to adapt the management for those dry conditions. Going on to a couple other agronomic measurements, looked at the greenness with advanced management. Both cultivars were greener, which isn't surprising. Extra nitrogen, extra fungicide, makes sense. When we look at days to maturity, we had, with the old cultivar, an additional day to maturity that was significant. With the new cultivar, we didn't get a significant increase in days to maturity. But the big exciting part, or I think the heart of the story, is where we look at the amount of leaf reduction, the reduction in leaf disease. And with the old cultivar, the leaf reduction with that dual fungicide was 23% versus 11% with the new cultivar. And this photo really, really shows it well. So this here is the Foremost, the old cultivar. This is the new cultivar, both grown under standard management with no fungicide application in an environment where we had incredible disease pressure. And you can see the flag leaves here are really, really sick without a fungicide. And we contrast that with the new genetics where we see that genetic resistance really improving leaf health. And that probably explains a lot of why we don't see that yield increases, because those genetics are so much better there and they don't need that extra management. So again, looking at my big, when we look at Foremost based on responses in the different environments, when we have those wet environments where they're conducive to disease development, that dual fungicide was giving us a 26.4% yield increase. So this particular cultivar loves its fungicide. Moderate environments, an 11% yield increase. But where it's dry and we don't have that disease development, only a 1.4% yield increase. So when we look at the yield increase in response to the dual fungicide over all these sites, we had a 17.1% yield increase. And if you remember in the other study with advanced management, the fungicide plus the PGR plus the UAN, a 17.6. So most of the yield response is coming from this fungicide application in the old cultivar. And this is just a quick visual we'll scan through real quick. Now, my colleague, Dr. Michael Harding, actually took leaf samples and assessed what diseases were present. And this isn't a quantification, but this is simply which diseases were present. So the top here is foremost from the 3 years of the irrigated site versus the penhold, the new genetics in the three irrigated sites. And you'll see we see stripe rust on both cultivars. Interestingly enough, penhold is rated as resistant to stripe rust, so I'm not sure what's going on there. We see tan spot in both cultivars in two of the environments. Septoria, we're only seeing that in the old cultivar, and spot blotch on both. So really there's not a huge difference in the types of diseases. It's more the quantity of disease that we are getting the big difference between the two cultivars. Then let's look quickly at the quality responses in terms of test weight, standard versus advanced, no significant difference for either cultivar. With the protein, though, when we looked at standard management on the old cultivar, our protein content was 12.26%. That bumped up to 12.64% with the extra nitrogen and the fungicide there, and we didn't see the significant difference in the new cultivar. I do want to point out, though, the change in the breeding with the old genetics. Under that standard management, our protein was 12.26 versus 13.11. So we did get those genetics stepping up the protein content in this wheat class. In terms of grading, interestingly enough, standard management tended to grade better than advanced management, so I'm still figuring that out. Standard management with foremost 4 of 14 samples graded number 1 or better versus 3 of 14 with the advanced management, and we see the same trend with penhold. Standard management 2 of 14 samples graded number 1 or better versus the same number but a few more lower ranked ratings on that. So not a huge difference in the grading. And to summarize, the penhold in 5 of 13 site years, we showed a 0.37 ton per hectare yield response, and that was typical in those environments with more than 260 millimeters of precipitation, so a 6.8% yield increase versus the foremost that responded in 10 of 13 site years with nearly a 1 ton or a 17.6% yield increase. And really that genetic disease resistance of penhold, the new cultivar, is superior to that of the old genetics with foremost, and therefore we need to use different fungicide management strategies. And I think this really highlights how we can gain input use efficiencies when we optimize our G by our E by our M interactions, and we can narrow that yield gap by applying these practices in the right environments on the right cultivars. Now, this is one of the slides I quickly show as kind of a dashboard to growers for how do you manage foremost versus penhold and for how frequently you get a yield response. So a large part of my work is getting this information out to growers, or else it doesn't actually help narrow that yield gap. Want to thank the funders, of course, the tons of people who helped out on this project, and I don't know if we've got a minute for questions or...
Yeah, we've got time.
Thanks.
Imagine the conversation you had with the growers was dwarfing comparison to the conversation you had with the wheat breeders. Did they give any indication, like, are they...
I don't think wheat breeders like me. I think maybe what's happening is there needs to be a focus in breeding on developing disease resistance, improving quality, but that can't be at the cost of yield potential. And I think one of the failures in the Canadian system is when we evaluate varieties and we don't look at how we can benefit a variety with extra management, we're maybe missing out on some of that genetic yield potential gain there. Without. Yes. Yeah.
So I just wanted to ask you a question. Often in Australia, when people want to look at G by M, they grab, you know, 12 current varieties of wheat, and in Australia, I don't know about in Canada, but they're like 98% genetically identical anyway. If you really want to see a big interaction between the genotype and the management, like, should we be looking further back in a breeding program where there's more diversity but with different traits? And is that possible, you think, or is it impractical to look at?
Right.
To look while you've still got some diversity in your genetics to see whether you can get some really big interaction.
So I do actually, this is the list of cultivars, and I do try to get from the different breeding programs. I've got two cultivars out of European breeding programs, and I was trying to get to that because I agree that to really get the genetic spread, we do need to come out of different programs. I do have different classes of wheat as well to try and gain more diversity in that genetic spectrum there. Yes?
So if I'm not mistaken, you showed a slide where the natural regulators seem to decrease yields, is that right?
Yes.
So do you have an idea of what's going on there?
These three environments, they were incredibly droughty. We had drought stress conditions. When we applied the nitrogen at those sites, we got leaf burn. And the label on plant growth regulators does indicate do not apply under any stressful conditions. So we just proved that when you apply a plant growth regulator, you really shouldn't because it causes yield decreases. So I think you're just causing additional stress on that plant in those environments where they're already stressed to begin with. Well, I guess because the plant growth regulators we're using are intended to reduce height to prevent lodging, if you have incredibly dry conditions, you're not going to have the conditions for lodging. So a grower needs to think about that decision to use a plant growth regulator based on the environmental conditions and not just pencil it in as an automatic practice.
Okay, we're going to have to cut that part off, so thanks, Sherry.